Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria, from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com.
We're going to do this after the show. We do a little video on your website promotion. And welcome back to the NutraMedical Report. And I am the great privilege of having Matthew Justin Deacon, my oldest son, here, who's studying medicine. He's got an amazing background, speaks multiple languages, but he has an important principle to mention now that I think is being avoided by his left and right. In fact, there's a bunch of what we call no-go zones in terms of topics that I believe personally, and Matthew does too, we need to go there to actually discern with our wisdom what the real solution is to certain problems that present our society with that neither the left nor the right in the past have actually approached it correctly. Matthew, welcome back to the show, and what do you want to talk about today?
Well,
Talk a little louder so we can hear you. You want to sit forward
today,
to the mic?
Today I think I want to talk about some stuff.
Talk louder, Matt, to be
some
good.
Some stuff that's covered up by the left and right.
I think you need to talk a little louder because you're subdued today.
Okay.
That's good. You're better now. You're leaning forward.
Some of the stuff that's covered up by the by academia and the media. As you know, I have a website, MatthewDeagleAstrology.com, where I discuss symbolism and how that science can give you an idea about your character and where things are going.
Right.
In the future, I've discussed some of this in the past programs. Today I want to talk about other factors in collective behavior, such as genetic factors that lead to certain kinds of societies being suitable for certain genetics and other societies being unsuitable for the same ones. In particular, I wanted to discuss, I've had a few people request that I talk about this again because I talked about it a few months ago.
Yeah, you did.
That there are a few genetic differences known to be average for different races, for example.
Right.
And as a result, different races behave better in different types of societies. So part of the mistake in the whole globalist agenda of the USA, for example, to spread the American system everywhere, is the glaring mistake that the American system doesn't even work in America except for people of European descent.
Right.
That obviously the entire country is not the white suburbs in America, and that actually there's a lot of serious problems with crime and poverty and so forth in non-white parts of the country.
Right, and a lot of it doesn't just have what we call social roots. A lot of people want to blame, let's say, the fact that there was a slave class brought in from Africa. But there are specific genetics and epigenetics, we call, related to diet and vaccines and everything, that is important, and the genetics are important, aren't they?
A specific gene, MAOA, or monoamine oxidase A,
right,
known as the warrior gene, kind of popped in pop literature, which, when you have the short repeat version of it, or the low producing form of it, you don't have high enough levels of MAOA, so you don't break down neurotransmitters, monoamine neurotransmitters, fast enough. You end up having excessive fight or flight responses and acts of aggression, as well as tendencies toward addiction and all sorts of stuff like that. So violent crime and addiction are both higher risk for people with the low version, low producing version of MAOA.
So if you come from parts of the world that have these gene SNPs, what you're saying is it may increase their ability to fight wild animals and warriors. The warrior genes, but in our society...
It increases their ability to commit acts of aggression, but it also increases their risk for things like drug addiction and violent crime, which are both also related, obviously.
Right.
So, when you look at... it turns out that the low-activity versions of MAOA are much more common among blacks than among whites, for example. And this partly explains the difference in the rate of drug crimes and homicide in blacks.
Right, even you mentioned to me something interesting.
It's about the homicide rate, for example, is at least 8 times that of the white homicide rate. The drug...
By the way, most of the homicide is black on black.
Drug addiction rate is higher,
right.
Significantly higher as well. And the rate of sexually transmitted diseases is also higher. Now, what's interesting, though, is that you look at blacks in Africa and Muslim countries, and they actually have lower rates of all sorts of crime. Overall crime is about 1/9 that it is among blacks, among other countries on average, so even lower than relative to blacks in the U.S.
That's interesting.
Their crime rate is overall very low, and their rate of drug dealing and drug abuse is very low. Their rate of sexually transmitted diseases. Like in Africa, if you look at the map of AIDS infection, HIV infection, it like almost follows the pattern of which countries are Muslim and which ones are not. The Muslim countries have a much lower rate of HIV infection than the non-Muslim countries.
Right.
And the reason why is because blacks behave better when there are more serious prohibitions. So, for example, because on average, I'm not saying all blacks are going to get addicted to something if they take it, but on average, there's more of a tendency toward addiction. So, Muslims forbid drinking alcohol, for example, because the tendency to become an alcoholic and to commit crimes while drunk is higher if you have the short...
Right, so in other words, you're saying society has total control over their eating habits and their behavior, and even the presence of alcohol and drugs.
I'm saying that if you compare blacks in Muslim countries to blacks in the U.S., there's a staggering difference in the level of criminality.
That's interesting.
Of gangs and the number of other indicators of criminality, like the robbery rate is like 1/5 that in the U.S.
Wow.
The assault rate is like 1/3.
So even though the genetics may be similar to the society, they have a totalitarian mind control society.
I don't know if I would say it's totalitarian.
Well, I would say so.
I wouldn't say it's a totalitarian mind control society. I would just say it's...
Well, Bill Warner would differ on that.
Well, I disagree
Let me finish with what he said.
Yeah.
I agree with you, but I want to say what he said. Basically, he went through the Hadith and the Quran, and remember what Muhammad was doing was actually trying to reform Islam and Christianity, which become apostate.
Well,
and
Let me finish.
What I'm saying is, a society has more control over dietary habits, behavior, etc., is more conducive to control.
Specific things that they have control over. So, for example, I think that part of the reason... Yeah, it's not politically correct, but I think part of the reason why, for example, Muslim countries in Africa have a lower rate of HIV infection is because they don't tolerate homosexuality. They don't tolerate female promiscuity either.
Right.
And so as a result of not tolerating female promiscuity or homosexuality, naturally they end up with a lower rate of spread of HIV.
Isn't that interesting?
I'm not saying that it's the best method. They're obviously somewhat barbaric and primitive in it. But also, the reason why there's less crime overall is because the punishments for crime are extremely severe.
Right. Beheadings and having your hands lopped off.
Execution, mutilation, and, you know, lifetime prison in a hell prison that has an incredibly horrible environment and so forth.
That's fascinating. Now,
so, you know, in a Muslim country, if you're a criminal, then you're risking death, or you're risking spending the rest of your life in hell prison. Whereas in, say, Europe, the punishments are very lax, the policing is very lax, and they just they're not able to cope with these sort of people, with these tendencies. So when these refugees or whatever go into Europe, essentially they're going from a draconian society where there's a huge risk for becoming a criminal that outweighs the incentive to a society where it's almost a free-for-all, where criminals can get away with being criminals.
So here, here's
why in Sweden, for example, you see all these gang wars where they're throwing grenades at each other and stuff. Because if they did that in Africa, except for in a lawless region that's been destroyed by a war like Libya, they would be killed.
Oh, really? Now, let me propose something. If we want to help, people with this gene predisposition, we should be testing everybody. Like,
Let me finish, okay?
We would be testing them, and we would give them nutrients to try to help their MAO imbalance. Please continue.
And I'll discuss that in a second, but I think that's the actual reason in the USA for the higher rate of blacks being shot by police and police violence against
blacks.
That's
interesting.
It's not racism per se. Yeah. And technically, it's racial profiling, but it's because of the same behaviors that led to Islam being so draconian in Africa.
That's fascinating. In other words, the religious system adapted to the epigenetics of the population.
Yeah.
That's the first I've ever heard anybody say that. That's amazing.
That the reason why Islam is so draconian is because blacks otherwise don't behave well.
Wow. Fascinating.
Okay.
You got 4 minutes.
Hunters.
Welcome back, and Matthew, let's continue this dialogue. This is interesting. If we change the modus and say it was cancer or heart disease, mm-hmm. with someone from a native country who has a low rate of heart disease, if they come to North America and eat their diet and have a societal balance of stressors, mm-hmm. etc., they're going to have greater amounts of disease. So it's, you have to think of it on a scientific and a rational basis rather than this idea of...
I'm saying that partly, basically, Islam is partly... adaptation to the genetics of the population of like Africa and the Middle East.
That's interesting.
Because they have such a, because they commonly, the average person there has the, especially the men are affected by the low activity version of MAOA, so have more of a tendency toward addiction and aggression.
So tell us more about the genetics.
And therefore,
that's
the exact same reason why in the U.S. the police are more violent toward blacks than they are toward whites, is because of the average interaction between the police and blacks, that blacks more often resist arrest and resist arrest violently and attack the police. So the police are trigger happy against the blacks because they think that they are going to be shot at by blacks. On average.
Right, in fact, you remember the engagement rules were changed.
It's not in every case is the black person actually going to shoot the police. But the reason why they're so anxious about blacks when they're arresting them is because of the average behavior of blacks being more aggressive toward police than that of whites.
Now that's interesting. So we also said black cops are more likely to be.
Less black cops also will also shoot black people that they're arresting more commonly than they'll shoot whites, and it's the same thing because it's the same reason why in Africa the Muslim countries are all very draconian in the police, and they have tons of police per capita.
Right.
They have very strict policing and extremely severe punishments for all sorts of crimes.
And swift punishment, too. If you commit an abortion, you're actually beheaded before Friday morning prayers. They cut your hands off first, and
particular countries, but...
That's Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, they have different laws in different countries, but they're all based on Islam and the basic idea of, you know, you don't take any mind-altering substances, you don't take anything addictive, you don't engage in sexual promiscuity or sexual deviancy. And as a result, you know, the STD rates are low, And all crime rates are low. The only crime rate that even compares to, say, America is homicide because of aggression. But even then, it's still much lower in the Muslim world than it is in America.
Why do you think the left and right don't want to...
If blacks in the U.S. commit 8 times as many homicides as whites, then why is it that blacks in Africa and Muslim countries commit less homicides than Americans?
Right, and it's not just dietary, although they probably have more organic diet.
The reason why is, I think, mostly just the laws and the policing.
Right.
So you put those people in Europe, well, as I was saying during the break, Europe is too lax even for Europeans. I think it's demonstrated by the presence of, say, the Mafia or the Camorra in Italy that are not controlled adequately by the government. Yeah, Europe is too lax even for Europeans. So when you introduce Africans into Europe, they're going to be yet more out of control and criminal,
right,
which is exactly what you observe. People are always talking about the threat of Islam or whatever, but Islam is just a reaction to this sort of behavior to bring it into law and order.
Right.
And the first thing that happens when you bring people from Africa into a country that doesn't have strict enough laws is out-of-control criminality, which is exactly what you observe, for example, in Sweden, where there's far more criminal assassinations between gang rivals than there is terror attacks, for example.
Right.
There's a lot more gang-related violence and gang-related criminal activity from the immigrants than there is Islamist activity. And the Islamist activity itself is the attempt of that system to establish itself in Europe in response to the presence of essentially people who got away from the law in their home countries.
So in other words, a lot of the people are lawless that escape and actually end up in Europe or try to come to places like America, so they're... Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, but I'm
so
saying that it's a very big, it's a tragic error of America and other progressive countries to think that they can just export their system to all these other countries and liberate them from their culture, because as we observe, even in the USA itself, the liberal system does not work with blacks.
Right.
Whereas, in contrast, if we look at Muslim countries, obviously Islam works a lot better.
Is that ever fascinating?
The question is, if we don't do something like that, become draconian, then what else can we do? And I think maybe, as you were saying earlier, we can administer an MAOA supplement to make up for the gene that causes low activity.
In other words, almost like an anti-violent or compassion supplement, in other words.
Yeah, it would just cause a person to have less of a tendency toward addiction and out-of-control impulsive aggression.
Well, one of the things that I mentioned, I want to mention this to you because you're paying to be a doctor, too. I personally believe, because we're descendants of the Cohens, that healthcare should be something, this is where I agree with things like Bernie Sanders, but I don't want a government top-down healthcare system, but the system should be based on what's called functional medicine, which means we don't even know what your genetic and epigenetic predispositions are. We need to provide an environment that actually helps you.
I think if we were responsible about this stuff, we would genetically screen the whole population to find out what their tendencies are. Like, for example, brain aneurysms are underdiagnosed because they aren't common. They don't commonly enough result in deaths to be a priority for standard checkups. But they kill like thousands of people a year. And if we had genetic screening for the genetic risk factors, then there'd be we could do more.
You have an example, but you talk about that. Do you know the most common cause of that is the copper zinc enzyme-dependent ability to produce elastin in the artery wall.
So same thing with this. For example, you know, before they even become gangsters or drug addicts, just test these children for their MAOA allele, and then if they have the... You know, we give kids, like, Ritalin so they pay attention in school, so why don't we give kids MAOA so that they don't become aggressive?
Yeah, but it doesn't have to be a drug. It could be a natural substance. I have natural things that will help with the monoamine oxidase metabolism in the brain.
But, so, as I said, I mean, it's obviously... A lot of this stuff is denied or covered up by certain academics.
Why is that?
Because it's seen as racist, even though the observation is that actually blacks don't have these same problems in Muslim countries that they have in the U.S., because they have a different legal system and different social expectations. Because they have a different social system.
Right.
Whereas in the U.S. they have these problems because the U.S. doesn't have severe enough punishments or severe enough law enforcement.
Well, I'll give you an example of something totally different. If you have the lack of lactase enzymes in your gut, because our families are descended from Irish and Norwegian and German and British, that we have the enzyme. Actually, I got my test done 23andMe, you had yours done. So I have the enzyme to break down lactose. If you don't have that enzyme and you eat a lot of milk or milk-derived products, you're going to get leaky gut, and the leaky gut is going to predispose you to autoimmune disease like lupus, MS, etc.
So that most people in the world, other than some Middle Easterns and Europeans, are lactose intolerant.
Right. And then, by the way, it predisposes to serious disease, so if you don't know what that defect is, you're going to eat a diet that's going to predispose you to horrifying disease or even cancer.
I do think that could be a factor, but the main thing is just MAOAM.
But I'm just talking about a totally different thing. In other words, it shows compassion for people to find out what their weaknesses are.
Yeah, you want to find out what their weaknesses are. I'll get into other stuff about this as well in a second.
Yeah.
Another aspect of like race science that indicates that we need to be more helpful toward
it. Yeah, by the way, these are no-go zones for the so-called left and the right. They don't want to talk about this, even though this is where the solution lies, isn't it?
It contradicts their beliefs about what the solution may be.
Amazing.
Stocks and options trading.
Matthew, please sit forward, and please continue. This is amazing dialogue. But what are the topics do you think are kind of no-go zones for the public media and even the universities? But
that's one of them right there, is the differences in the genetics of aggression between different races, because it's a reason why the same race in one country is well-behaved and badly behaved in another country, because the difference in social expectations and culture, and the difference in law enforcement, and the difference in the punishments meted out by the law themselves, that, as I said, the overall crime rate in black Muslim Africa is lower than the USA as a whole, even though blacks in the USA have a much higher crime rate than average.
That's fascinating. It's almost to say the prescription is either one, let the black communities become Muslim in America without doing jihad against the whole white America,
or
fixing their biochemistry.
It is interesting to note in this regard that not only are a lot of black entertainers and so forth converts to Islam, but that the black Billy Graham, you might say, Louis Farrakhan, is also a Muslim. And I think that's partly because of this, that these problems that, whether you like it or not, you know, you think about these immigrants coming into Europe, and people think the threat is Islam. The threat is the fact that the people only function under a system like that without some kind of medical intervention because of the genetics of aggression. So, or MAOA.
Yeah.
In other words, Islam is the solution, the tried and true, old-fashioned, somewhat rough-edged solution to the criminality of Africans.
Let me throw something.
Them from becoming criminals by putting them in a stricter regime. Therefore, what you can expect to happen is when they bring in these mass immigrants into Europe, first, of course, they'll bring with them massive amounts of crime,
right,
as we already observe. Organized crime, theft, rape, etc., drug dealing. And then what happens, however, of course, the mafia has a heyday for a little while there with new recruits into their criminal organizations. But eventually, because a lot of these refugees or immigrants are also Muslims, they begin to apply the Muslim solution to the problem of African genetics, which is to become draconian and, you know, and become vigilantes or whatever. Like, they try to enforce Sharia law in European cities. And, I mean, people think about this as being a big threat to their freedom or whatever. This is all they think about is the illiberality of Islam. But the thing is, the illiberality of Islam is the only societies in the world where blacks behave well.
Well, that's really interesting. Now, so
actually better even than whites in America do as far as crime rates.
So Matt, let me throw something out, okay? I'm going to go back, and I'd like to kind of look at the laboratory that created these increased genes. There are certain genes that are in white populations. For example, much of the white populations are white because they lost the melanin, and they lived on what's called the edge of the ice fall for ice ages over tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of years. It's thought that modern man has been on the earth for at least 500,000 years, okay? Although, you know, Adam, man, we talk about the Bible, was less...
Yeah, it's not totally clear why, but
Let me finish my thesis, and I want to throw it back to you, okay? So you got a giant continent. Africa is so big, most people don't realize, because they don't see a real map how big it is. You could drop North America into the Saharan Desert in North Africa, and you'd lose it. Africa is huge, so...
It's humongous.
So survive, you have these hundreds of tribes. There's more genetic polymorphism and differences between black populations in Africa than any other group on Earth.
There's a lot of diversity in Africa.
Let me finish, okay? So the idea is to survive as a tribe, you're going to specifically select for genes that are going to allow aggression, so your tribe will win a battle over the other tribe. So in other
that
words,
could be part of it,
so
yeah.
In other words, you've got this giant laboratory. Well,
whatever it was, for some reason, the more aggressive men had more offspring. And
right, exactly.
The common factor for all of sub-Saharan Africa is that they have a high rate of the low-activity MAOA.
No, I want to mention translate to here. It's a social system.
Gives you some advantage, obviously.
70 years ago, the average black, let's say ultra-religious black person, was very moral, had a fairly good family, and then social services started to come in, the Democrats. And what they did is they wanted a home without the father.
Well, blacks have
Let me finish, and I want to throw it back to you and see what you say. So what they did is they removed the father from the family, and the girls could have multiple babies. Now what happens, you can have black aggressive criminals that are now in prison getting honor payments from 20 mamas, where they've actually fathered 20 babies from different mamas because they're so sexually and physically aggressive.
Well, you know, it's funny, as I said, that doesn't really happen in Muslim Africa.
No, it doesn't, because that happens in here.
You don't see a lot of single moms.
Right.
You know, except for widows or whatever. So I really just think it's because of a difference in the severity of laws and the social expectations. Like, if you commit a theft, for example, in Africa, and some woman that you just robbed cries out thief, then some guy, just some you know, bystander or whatever, is just going to grab the guy, and then they're going to wait for the police to come arrest him. If that happens in the ghetto, nobody cares about each other there because they don't have the same social expectations. They're not going to chase after a thief, right? They're not going to do it.
It's a different social environment.
It's a more degenerate culture.
Wow.
In other words.
Well, now, using that platform, what would you say to both the left and the right in terms of politicians dealing with the immigration issue, dealing with the issue of, I'll say, poverty in America?
I'm saying that the idea that they're going to turn the whole world into America and liberate the whole world and liberalize and progressivize it all, it's just a total delusion, because what actually happens when the USA goes in and liberates some country in the Middle East or Africa is you just get out of control crime after the USA leaves.
Of course. Now, you mentioned something else. Blue-collar jobs are disappearing. If you actually look, and I saw it on Tucker Carlson, he has a series of shows on Wednesdays about the disappearing male. Yeah. We have feminization of male. We have drop in sperm count 75%. We've got decreased fertility. We now have males in their 30s with impotence.
I don't think that's an issue.
Let me finish my statement in America. The male is going to disappear because blue-collar jobs are going to go to robotics and automated manufacturing. Now, white-collar jobs, which tend to be more female, like in nursing, etc., and other jobs, are going to be less affected, but it means that people with lower IQ are not going to have employment.
Oh, yes. This is something else I wanted to discuss.
I want you to get into that. So
is that the average, this is something else they don't like talking about, is that the average IQ of different races can differ by as much as an entire standard deviation. So, for example, the difference between the average IQ of blacks is about 15 points.
Right.
And that contributes to the economic problems with blacks, but essentially, because of the average black not having an IQ high enough to have a high-paying job in our system.
Use an example of medical school.
In Muslim countries, they have a kind of collectivist attitude where they give charity. They give charity to people who aren't as well off or as successful, and so there's a lot more social support between different, you know, different economic status and different so that everybody ultimately has a decent standard of living inside these societies.
That's interesting. Now, you mentioned a quote, for example. You mentioned me yesterday. One in 30 male and female that are white has an IQ high enough, at least 130 to go to medical school. Only one in 1,000 blacks. Now, there are some exceptions, like, for example, some very high IQ black people.
Obviously, you're always going to get people in any group that are smarter than the average of any group.
Right.
Like, obviously, you know, Ben Carson is a very smart guy, or Neil deGrasse Tyson or whatever, and they're black, right?
Right.
So clearly you're going to obviously get people who are outliers, but the average black is going to have an IQ just high enough to have, like, you know, an entry-level type job, like not a job that doesn't require any special education or anything. So as these trade jobs go away, yeah, that does also affect...
Because of social catastrophe.
Also further affects their ability to succeed.
Right, and if you have failing males, you have failing families, right?
That's right. So there's a lot of negative stuff going on, and the solution is clearly not liberalization and capitalism, is what
right.
I'm saying.
Yeah, I wanted to get into that when you come in.
The solution is a big... It just causes more problems.
Interesting analysis. Well, very interesting. These are no-go zones for left and right. Your website is MatthewDeagleAstrology.com.
Yes.
What else do you want to say about that?
Well, what I want to say about what I was discussing before the break is that basically, you know, you can see a lot of aspects. There's obviously flawed aspects of Islam, and you can criticize a lot of it, but there's aspects of it which are very clever adaptations to the genetics of, say, Africa or the Middle East. So, for example, in Africa, as he was saying earlier, there's genetic diversity is very high because it's a mixture of different populations, and one of the populations originating with where associated with haplogroup A and B of their Y chromosome had an average small brain size and so a low average IQ, whereas another population in Africa who became the Egyptians and the Tufians were actually had a large brain size and were first people to develop agriculture and writing and so forth. So because of this disparity between different genetic levels of intelligence as well in Africa, eventually to stop all of the, you know, tendencies to a revolution or discontent, they developed this idea of giving alms to the poor, that people who could not afford, who didn't have the intelligence to become super wealthy on their own, or are given some help by the richer, more successful people, because you're going to find some people, the same thing's going to happen in any population with a lot of Africans, is you're going to have some people who are really smart, like the Egyptians, and some people who are, on average, are going to be of somewhat lower intelligence.
Well, let me give one exception to that, is Ethiopians. Ethiopian blacks have a very large brain, don't they?
No, Ethiopia, on average, has a very low IQ.
I'm talking about
same thing throughout all of Africa, because Africa all consists of a mixture of these people that became the Egyptians.
Yeah, but I've known personally, and also some Ethiopians are larger brain.
Obviously some Nigerians and some of the most successful immigrants and so forth. I'm saying that Africa has a mixture of these people who have that have higher than average intelligence on average, a subpopulation, and people who have lower than average intelligence on it. And as a result, those people, because the average tends to be lowered by the people with lower average intelligence,
right.
There's more of a collective mentality, less of a self-interest attitude toward the economy, and more of a tendency to, in fact, it's an obligation of Islam to give money to the poor. And I think that in modern terms, we have to find our own equivalent solutions that meet these demands realistically, given the facts of the genetics. So, for example, in the U.S., we could have our own answer to Zakat in the form of giving a reverse income tax to people with an IQ below 90, which would mean that they could continue working hard at whatever job they can accomplish, but they would get more money for the job.
So yeah, I agree with that.
So
I think
more purchasing power and so forth.
Right, I agree with that.
So
I think it's better than
getting
better taxed welfare
on their income, then some of the income tax from higher income bracket people would simply be added on to their paychecks. And that would be a solution right there. The problem is that America has a delusional belief that simply increasing the overall GDP is going to increase the standard of living for everybody, which simply does not happen.
No. In fact, see, after even the tax breaks that Trump did, 90% of the money goes to big corporations.
It doesn't.
And it doesn't go to the people with below-average IQs or living in the ghettos in America, does it?
No, it does not go to... In particular,
like the Appalachian Mountains or whatever.
whether they're white or black, it does not go to the lower IQ population.
Exactly. It doesn't matter what your racial group is.
And
right?
They have... And like I said, I mean, the two big things you're dealing with here, which have been essentially solved by Islam, are now being unsolved by Americanism and international globalism. You see, they're going in and they're taking away whatever it was.
Well, that was That's the previous philosophy of all the other presidents except Trump. Trump is not trying to do regime change anymore, whether it's North Korea or
obviously,
other countries.
I think people like Saddam Hussein had to be gotten rid of. But the thing is that the only way to do that as well reasonably is to have an international peacekeeping force that involves equal amounts of participation of the USA and Russia and China in cooperation with each other to maintain law and order. Otherwise, they're going to end up in a competition, a geopolitical competition with each other that may lead to World War III.
So exactly. In fact, that's
I don't have a problem with the idea of getting rid of Saddam Hussein or whatever. Obviously, he was a madman. But the thing is that, on average, the general idea of liberalizing and Americanizing Muslim countries is a very bad idea, and it's proven to be a bad idea by the situation, the problems we have with blacks here in the U.S.
Yeah, and people from the Middle East, too, there are societies that have risen up in violence, yeah. And the violent aggressives are more likely to reproduce it.
But actually, those problems that we have with blacks in the U.S. were already solved in Africa by Muslims.
Isn't that interesting?
Much to our...
You won't hear that usually from... Now, of course, the situation in America, an American solution would be reverse tax, nutritional support to try to help, and a system to make sure we pull up the lower classes. One of the things that I'd like to see is what I call, instead of welfare, I'd like to see workfare. And a reverse tax is part of that. So
it's funny, we have all these ideas, but we always block out any of the ideas that contradict our fundamental beliefs.
Well, the fundamental beliefs are left and right, and that's why I don't agree. Like, for example, some of the things that Bernie Sanders talks about, or even this new candidate, the one against Crowley, four of the 15 things I think are totally right on, but the others, some of them are kind of like crazy. But the fact is that a lot of the left now doesn't even want to dialogue with us to find a solution.
So I think,
you know,
given our level of civilization, I think that European people have the most humane view of things. The more humane solution than just becoming draconian and decapitating people or whatever for the black crime problem is just medicine and psychiatry. And the more humane, and also, you know, a more reliable solution than obligating a religious tax would just be, or charity would be, to give them a reverse income tax.
Yeah, exactly.
As opposed to putting all this tax money into useless social programs and welfare.
And it's a big bloated budget,
also, not to mention, if you think about it, they'd still be employed. They would be required to be employed, but a certain percentage of their paycheck would actually be given to them as opposed to being taken off by...
So, if they're earning $10 an hour, they get, let's say, another $8 or $9 an hour to their wage, and they'd have enough money to buy proper good food, have a proper...
Yes, they have enough money in order to support their children and everything. And guess what? It wouldn't artificially affect, you know, some social Darwinist or whatever might say that it might artificially affect the reproductive rate of low IQ people or whatever, but the actual fact is that they are... have a higher birth rate no matter what.
What I've actually heard is the opposite. It happens like Japan and elsewhere. Once basically the status of the society increases, their fertility drops.
Yeah. So it actually might decrease the birth rate of lower IQ people.
Yeah, they'd have more likely to have two children rather than five or six.
Also making them less likely to become criminals or homeless or whatever.
Or end up in one of these prisons. One of the things I agreed with this new candidate from New York, is the idea of getting rid of public prisons. I think they have private prisons. The idea that the Carlyle Group and George Bush Sr. and these groups can own private prisons in America is an obscene thing, isn't it?
Well, I'm skeptical about prisons as we do them right now, because prisons are not prisons are not isolated enough from the outside world, so the criminals are often able to continue their gang activities in prison.
Yeah, even
Prisons should be more isolated. They should have no contact with the outside world. If a person's in jail, they should have no contact of any kind with the outside world.
Yeah.
So I don't have a problem so much.
But we have too many people in prison. And the other thing is, if you're going to decriminalize drugs, you have to medicalize them. For example, 7% of people.
I think that's a bad idea too, because you look at it in Muslim countries. What have they done with blacks? They don't just forbid all drugs. They even forbid alcohol because it's the same thing. The reason why is because of the tendency to become addicted to it and to harm yourself.
No, here's the point. Society is just, I think, Oklahoma authorized medical marijuana. Yeah. But more and more states, and here's what my problem is.
I mean, I'm not saying that alcohol is bad.
Well, let me put the thesis out, Matt.
It's not on average.
If you do genetic testing, 7% of people, if they smoke marijuana, are going to get psychosis and schizophrenia.
Yeah, I think legalization of drugs is a very bad idea, given
right.
that we already have enough problems with alcohol.
Right. Yeah. Right, but we don't want to put people in prison. We want to put them into a medical system to help them.
Yeah, but I'm saying drug dealers and gangs... Well,
they need to be put in prison.
They should be put in prison.
Right, but the actual drug victims, whether it's OxyContin, fentanyl, or whatever...
I mean, until we've solved the problem psychiatrically, they need to have as severe punishments as possible.
Yeah. And by the way, your website, if people use Matthew's services, they get a special code. If you purchase the service, that gives you 7% off, even between sales. So visit MatthewDeagleAstrology.com. He can provide you amazing services for individuals, corporations, and governments. And now, analyzing things, we're going to be doing some video in a few minutes here from Matthew's website, and also looking at some of these articles that we have posted up as well. So go over to my Vimeo channel. You can watch it live and free at Vimeo.com/NutriMedical1. That video will be up in a few minutes, 10 minutes or so. We'll be back, and Matthew will be on talking about his website and about these articles, which I have posted up, ready to view here at NutriMedical.com. Thank you for your support, and do get ready. Next week, we have our big sale coming on, 4th of July holiday.
Imagine a pill that can improve your focus, your memory, your sleep, a catalyst to improve your brain chemistry. Dr. Bill's Cognition Plus is truly the smarter in an hour pill. A combination of amino acids, trace minerals, and B vitamins, Cognition Plus is made with specialized herbal extracts that will enhance and support brain function. Our customers say,
I feel more focused.
My memory's getting better.
I can work longer with more useful hours.
Power up your neurotransmitters that have been depleted, like dopamine and norepinephrine. Stimulate the release of others, like serotonin and oxytocin. Improve circulation and energy production. Protect your mind and your loved ones today. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Cognition Plus at 888-212-8871 or go online to NutriMedical.com. That's 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com. And listen to the NutriMedical Report on the Genesis Radio Network with open lines every weekday. NutriMedical.com, bringing nutrition and medicine together.